Good morning. We're back. This is Mark Reed here, speaking from the Isle of Wight. After a period where we had to stop our podcast while our offices were rebuilt, we are now back, and we are back with a vengeance. So thank you so much for listening and sticking with us. I'm actually joined today by Sam Killoran, who's one of our paralegals at the firm. And what we thought we could do in terms of breaking things down for the podcasts in terms of topics is that we can do a series of family law related podcasts that our listeners, we think, will find quite interesting. Okay, so Sam, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Mark.
Good, good, good. Life treating you well?
It is indeed.
How's the training going? So Sam is actually training to be a solicitor. He's doing lots of university stuff and buried in books and everything. So yeah, how's things going?
It's going well. Lots of reading.
And what's your favourite topic that you've been studying at the moment, or area of law?
Well, currently I'm studying family law and media and entertainment law.
Okay, so that's actually neatly going to take us into the reason why we've chosen family law as a topic. Now, I specialise in, as a solicitor, I specialise in many areas of law, one of them being family law. So we considered it to be a nice thing where you were actually studying the family law aspects, that we could use that as our topic. So speaking of, what is it that you want to discuss with me today, Sam?
Well, I wanted to discuss, as opposed to a divorce, which I'm sure everybody is aware of, There is another way to end a marriage, and that's through a decree of nullity,
okay,
which applies in certain circumstances, Which is whether the marriage is void or Avoidable.
So let's just pause there a second. So in terms of divorce, so people get married, okay? Of course, that's been happening for decades, hundreds or thousands of years. People get married. They have to, of course, have a ceremony. They have to then sign the register, and of course, then are married. But sometimes it doesn't always work out. People drift apart. There could be lots of reasons. Of course, we've had previous podcasts where we've discussed the grounds for divorce. So I won't bore you with them as such for the purposes of this podcast. But usually the grounds to be able to separate and become divorced would have to be identified, save for the fact that there is now the no-fault divorce application process, which we are able to advise on. Again, we've done a previous podcast on that, so please do look back through the catalogue and you will find that. Sam, what you're talking about is a different type of way of being able to sort of end the marriage, which is different to that of the standard process of divorce.
Yeah, that's correct. So
what's it called again?
A decree of nullity.
Decree of nullity.
Which is where a marriage is either void or Voidable.
Void or voidable. Okay, so void or voidable. Does it matter? Is there a timeline within this? I'm going to fire some questions at Sam, by the way, and let's hope that he can keep up. So is there a timeline that the marriage can be void?
If a marriage is void, it's as though it never existed in the first place, and this would happen under certain circumstances, either formalities are not complied with.
Okay, so again, just pause there. Is there a time frame of which to be able to say that it's void? Does it matter when? It can happen whenever. So you could be married as such.
Well, some people can falsely believe they are married and 20 years down the line come to realise that they're not, in fact, married in UK law, because they may have had a specific religious ceremony which didn't comply with the formalities, and then it's not properly been registered.
Okay. Okay, so really, when I say timeline, for the it to be identified, it meaning the way in which the marriage came about, for it to be identified that it was actually null and void, you could be married for 20 years or under the understanding that you could be, and then suddenly it becomes completely...
Well, a party may not be aware until they say... find themselves in a situation where they're going through divorce, and it may be at the commencement of divorce proceedings that they come to learn, well, actually their marriage was void and they're not actually
married. So that must be scary, especially for those that actually, you know, don't want to, you know, be divorced or it was done in the wrong way, and then they suddenly have to get married all over again. So talk us through, you know, some examples.
The simplest examples are certain prohibited relationships are void straight away, which tends to be relationships of blood, siblings, mother and child, and child. Yeah,
understood.
The next one, which is straightforward, is underage. Obviously, you have to be over the age of 16 to marry in the UK. Well, between 16 and 18, you would need parental consent. Yeah. Over 18, no parental consent is needed.
Okay, yeah.
Another relatively straightforward one is if one party is already married.
Oh, yes. There's lots of dramas that have happened. There's a lovely case law on that, which, I say lovely case law, we find it quite interesting because we love the law, but on that, which actually might be an idea, actually, if we do another podcast just on that, because we can then talk about some different cases that have been around over time. But anyway, you'll have to just stay tuned for the future. But carry on, Sam.
And the one that tends to sort of catch some people out is the formalities one. There's certain formalities that need to be required for it to be a valid marriage. I'm sure everyone's aware of two witnesses must be present.
Mm-hmm.
That is one. And then the formalities can differ slightly depending on whether it's a civil ceremony or a religious ceremony. So for a civil ceremony, it has to take place in a registry office or an approved premises.
Yeah.
And at the ceremony, the parties must declare no lawful impediments, exchange vows, and have two witnesses.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there is also some preliminary formalities to comply with. A religious ceremony is celebrated according to that religion. Now, recently, you receive a certificate of marriage, which you then have to, after a certain religious ceremony, you would take to a registry office to then still register the marriage.
Interesting. Okay. So what I want to be clear on is, for those that are listening, if you're hearing certain things that have been reeled off by Sam, do pick up the phone to be able to get clarification from us. I think it can be a bit of a minefield, all right? But the points that you're raising are, the general ones that everyone must be aware of.
It can get difficult with some people choose to get married abroad on some lovely beach, but you obviously have to be careful whether that marriage would be valid in the UK. In such situations, you might find that parties have to get married in a registry office in the UK, you know, a small ceremony to ensure that they're married here. And then the sort of lovely on the beach wedding is often for show.
Yes, I mean, I actually know a lot of friends that have had that. So there may be those that are listening now that are gulping and going, well, I never did that. You might find that you're fine and that actually it was registered fine. So what else is it that we need to understand when it comes to this topic, Sam?
There's obviously the other area where marriages are potentially voidable. In this situation, you could choose to carry on with the marriage, or you could apply for the decree of nullity because of a voidable reason. And these are non-consummation of the marriage.
That's interesting. Okay, I don't think we're going to...
No.
I don't think we're going to delve into that one too much. No. But essentially, let's just say you haven't actually...
No.
consummated the marriage in the bedroom, shall we say?
Yeah, this could be through incapacity or unwillingness. Although I'm not quite sure how you would persuade the court that this has not happened. I don't know, really.
Yes, that would be interesting to be a fly on the wall with that happening. However, it is also very serious. So, you know, so for our listeners, it is something that we would take seriously if you were to pick up the phone, and we will ensure that we can advise you accordingly. What else?
Another avoidable ground would be no valid consent in the first place. So maybe you've been forced into a marriage through duress, or perhaps you were mistaken as to the identity of the other party or the nature of the ceremony, or you didn't have the capacity to get married in the first place.
Those are quite serious, and I've had cases firsthand where I've had to deal with that aspect of things. So you're in safe hands if you find that there is a situation where you've been really stewing on it for some time, and you feel that you wish to take further advice I mean, it's going to be a difficult, you know, journey for you anyway. But if you do feel that you need to talk, do pick up the phone so that you can speak to us, and one of the team will be able to sort of guide you through that, or you can come in for a meeting if you're nearby. Okay, but Sam, what else?
So we have another one, which is might be a bit of a surprise. Also, venereal disease is avoidable reason, and this is linked to non-consummation. Imagine it's to do with the idea of moving forward with a marriage and procreation, having children, and I guess venereal disease and or non-consummation would prevent that, which is a...
But we also, you know, I still find the law has got a long way to go to come up with, modern times, because, you know, that assessment there, putting aside the disease point there, but consummating the marriage, it sounds, you know, like it's not with the times.
It does.
Because, of course, you can have same-sex marriage and lots of other... ways of being able to be, formally married these days. You know, that sounds a very old-fashioned ideal, which I'm sure wouldn't necessarily take into account in modern times. But sorry, I've cut you off there, Sam.
But I believe non-consummation doesn't apply to same-sex because of the definition of what consummation is.
Well done. I walked you into that one, and you did very well. So I'll let you do some more research on that, but that's great.
And another ground which where marriage could be voidable is pregnancy, and this provides a husband the right to petition if his wife was pregnant at the time of marriage and another man was the father.
That sounds very Jeremy Kyle, doesn't it?
It does. And the final voidable ground is gender recognition, which is where in two situations, either a marriage has happened and now one party applies for a gender recognition certificate, or a marriage has happened and the petitioner was now aware the other party had acquired their gender prior to the marriage.
Wow. I mean, that one is, I think that one's very interesting. And that actually is with the times, because, it's a far more recognised now that there are, you know, an awful lot of different ways to make you feel one with yourself. And, you know, if that can then cause any issues within the marriage there, then it is it's worth considering. Okay, when I say issues within the marriage, I mean, you know, that it actually could be void. Okay, so have a think about that, if that's actually something that you've been or experienced or friends have experienced within their marriage. Okay, all right.
An important thing to remember is, although a decree of nullity is not the same thing as a divorce, the court is still permitted to make equivalent orders in relation to property and finance.
Yeah, now nicely tied up there, Sam. I appreciate you finishing it off there. Okay, so that's great. Well, look, I found that interesting. If you didn't, well, I'm not going to apologise, but just keep tuning in. And, we have lots of topics, certainly within this series of family law related topics. But of course, we do touch, you know, on other areas of law as well, as I'm sure you know from listening previously. Defamation, intellectual property, harassment, okay, commercial, buying and selling businesses, e-commerce, you name it, we will be able to sort of cater for your needs or your interests. And any other questions, of course, just pick up the phone, 02380-235-979, or you can email us at info@laudit.co.uk. Anything else to add, Sam?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, tune in next time and we will have further topics in relation to family law. Take care.